Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hits.
And a dramatic day in the Dáil today. Well, at least they were doing something, I suppose. It's rare they do anything at all, but it was a dramatic day. It was a very heated debate. A real hot topic. That certainly would ignite the flames of debate. They were my bad attempts at puns, can I just point out. I don't know where you've heard the news, of course, that Sinn Féin brought a motion to address the recruitment and retention crisis within the retained fire services. Retained firefighters are men and women who are on call to respond to a range of emergencies, particularly national emergencies. And the motion called on the government to bring forward a financial investment package for retained fire services to increase firefighters' pay and create better conditions for current and future members. It also called on the government to urgently engage with the representative bodies acting on behalf of the retained firefighters to prevent industrial action, in other words, a strike. And the government tabled a counter-motion. It stated that the role of the retained firefighter is part-time and was never intended to be a full-time income. The coalition won the vote by 71 to 62 votes, and Sinn Féin TDs Eoin Óibrín and John Brady accused the Minister for Housing, Dara O'Brien, of staggering ignorance, or arrogance, should I say. O'Brien was presented with firefighter a pager in the Dáil by Sinn Féin, and by the Ciarán Comhairle almost suspended the Dáil when TD John Barry crossed the floor to land the pager on Mr O'Brien's desk. This is a pager, by the way, that a retained firefighter would have in his pocket in the case of an emergency, that they have to literally run to the nearest fire station and go to whatever emergency they have to deal with. All of the while, of course, retained fire services staff protested outside. One person, firefighter Tom Kitterick, was there today, and he was at the protest, and he joins me now. Tom, good evening to you.
I can indeed, yeah. Thanks very much for having me on.
Now, Tom, I mean, explain to people first, because people are a bit confused as to what you are looking for or what retained firefighters are looking for. And I suppose explain your role, because people maybe don't understand the role of a retained firefighter.
Yes, I'll explain the role first. A retained firefighter is trained to the same standard as the full-time firefighters that will be in Dublin, Limerick, parts of Galway, Cork, all those cities. The training is the same. The big difference between a retained firefighter and a full-time firefighter is a retained firefighter carries a pager with them 24/7. It's beside your bedside locker at night. As I said to somebody, you know, if you're a heavy sleeper, maybe you want to put it on the lid of a biscuit tin or something to make more noise.
Make sure you hear it, yeah.
Yeah. Once that goes off, you actually have to be in the station and actually rolling out of the station in the fire engine within 5 minutes.
Wow.
So you have to live within 2.4 to 2.5 kilometres, as it normally is, depending on the council you're working for. You definitely have to live within 4 minutes turn-up time to the fire station.
And that's day and night. You could get a call at 4 in the morning, for example, if there was an emergency situation.
Oh, yeah, and we would get a call many of the time at 4 and 3 and half 1 and, you know, yeah, 6 in the morning type thing.
I'm just curious, what happens, are you allotted time? So let's say, for example, you're going out for a meal or you're going to a wedding or you're going to a party or you're at the pictures or the movies, as they call it nowadays. So is there specific times that you must be available? Do they say to you, well, these 3 days you must be on call? Are there days that you're on call?
No, you're on call 24/7 all days of the year except your 28 days holidays. So it amounts to 338 days a year, I think it is, or 42 days.
So what happens if you're out somewhere or you're at your other job? Because I'm assuming you have a full-time job as well.
I have been out. I've been out in the middle of dinner. I think some people in the restaurant thought I didn't want to pay the bill because I headed towards the door.
Right.
I have been, we'd say, in the middle of a religious service, maybe. Firemen have left their own child's communion, confirmation. This is the job. You may have a football match with your kids in the next town. You cannot go to it, you know, because you're
on call.
The way.
Yeah,
Yeah, yeah. You can't even go to the football match maybe in your own town because it might be the other side of town from the fire station, and you're simply not going to make it.
So you're your life is very restricted, so isn't it?
Do you remember the COVID restriction when it was 2 kilometres?
Yes, yeah.
I think it's extended to 5.
Your life is like that all the time?
All the time. I personally didn't really see any difference. We used to have a quiet joke about it in our team. That's what we do anyways all the time, you know.
Yeah, now the rest of them know what it's like for us. Yeah, exactly. I understand.
And this is the thing. What's happened now is, I think you asked me there what we were looking for. We're looking for the problem of recruitment and retention to be addressed, not just one that has cropped up in the last year or 2 years or something since COVID, like many other public servants. Our recruitment and retention problem is a problem for 15 years. There was fire services across the country that couldn't recruit during the last recession when there was 500,000 people unemployed. There was people that say, no, I won't go for that. You know, I'm not doing that. I couldn't do that, you know. And fair enough, you know, the rest of us did decide to do it. But the problem is now that a lot of stations are undermanned. We'll say one pump station. We call a fire station, a fire engine, sorry, a pump, really. That's the term that's used. So if you have one fire engine, you're one pump station. And those would have a complement normally of 9. And just say a couple of retirements happen, or people just say, look, I'm leaving this, I'm going. We haven't been able to replace those people. So some people are down to 7 and 6.
Right.
It's not actually safe to go with a crew under 6.
No, I can imagine not, particularly if it's a large fire or it's an emergency situation. You know, and what I keep thinking of is what happened in Donegal and Cruachan in Donegal. And I imagine the retention or the retained firefighters would have been called out to a scene like that. That's a typical kind of scene. Well, not typical, obviously, because thankfully that doesn't happen too often. But that would be the type of scene that you'd be called to.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. And you'd be called to a variety of situations. You'd be called to quite a lot of, we call them RTAs, road traffic accidents.
Yeah.
You'd be called to, you might be called to a water rescue where people have been in a lake and couldn't get anyone else, or a river. And you'd be that. We've been called to those type of things. The smell of gas, you know,
of course, all sorts
of things. Can I ask you,
it's entirely up to yourself which one to tell me, although it is, I'm sure, public knowledge, people can find out publicly, what is the pay? Is it good? Or is it, clearly not, because that's part of the problem as well, is you're not being remunerated properly.
No. When you're trying to attract in a new person, the retainer, we call it, pay your retainer for being on call, and the retainer for a new entrant is $8,500. So that equates to about, if you spread that over the year, it's about 99 cents an hour. So that's what the pay is. Then you get paid per call after that.
And what is the pay for the call for that period of time? If you're out for, say, 2 hours, what's the pay for that?
If you're out 2 hours in the middle of the day, you get about €40 for the first hour and 20 for the second. And then you're taxed out of that and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
The problem is, if you're in a busy station, you get lots of money for the calls, but that's still not.
Yeah, but the point is, you're on call. The idea that you would get, you know, 99 cents or whatever you said it was per hour for being on call, that's not really acceptable, because that's essentially a job. Yeah, because you can't do anything else. I mean, as you mentioned already, it's like being in lockdown, you know. Yeah, so so you're on call. I mean, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't expect you to get a huge amount of money either, because you're not actually doing anything, but I would expect you to get a reasonable rate for being on call.
And this is what we're asking, is a reasonable rate. You see, what happens is then, you know, obviously you have figured out there now that you cannot make a living on this thing, so you have another job with it.
No, you couldn't, a living, no. Not unless it was a very busy fire station.
So the other job has to be 2.4 kilometres from the station as well. And you have to have an employer that allows you to go on a second's notice.
There's very few. Well, that's going to limit your possibilities of having full-time employment even then, isn't it?
You're not going to get the employment anymore. Because maybe in the old days, when this first started off, the system, the fire station was usually in the centre of town, beside the town hall or someplace like that. and maybe cluster people work there and joined it, and you know, the employer allowed them be on call and be able to leave. Now, fire stations tend to be on the outskirts of town, beside the ring road at the roundabout. And there might very well be, you know, less of a catchment of people who are, you know, living 2.4 kilometres from it. But just say you want to attract someone that lives in the next town into it, that lives 10 miles away, and say, I'd like to do that, so I'll move into town. I'll move in within 2.4 kilometres of the fire station. You go into the bank then to get a mortgage, and the bank will only look at your 8,500. It doesn't really matter if you earn another 10 or another 15 onto it. They won't take that into account.
No, because that's not steady. They don't consider that real income as such, yeah.
No. So let's say then you want to go renting. You're renting in definitely what is the most expensive part of town, because it's around the fire station, so it's going to be the most expensive part to renting. So your 8,500 isn't going to pay for that either. You're going to need another job with it. And another job now isn't sustainable really with it, because not many employers really want to be letting off at a moment's notice and not knowing will you be back in a half hour or will you be back in 24 hours' time.
You know? See, well, realistically, Tom, what we're looking at here is this is a vocation. This is not a job. This is, you have to really want to have a passion for doing this. And those kind of people are hard to find, just like being a doctor, nurse, whatever it is. You have to have a passion for it, because let's be clear about it. You're not going to be a millionaire out of it. That's for certain. And your life is also restricted. So you need to have a very understanding partner, wife, husband, whatever it happens to be, and children. You need to have very understanding people around you. You know, because you're going to go at a moment's notice. It's inconvenient that you have to live somewhere in particular. You can't move far away. You have a very understanding employer if you have a job, which are very rare nowadays to have an understanding employer that's going to be close by. So realistically, there's nothing positive about the job from that point of view, apart from the fact that you're doing really good work, you know, and it's much needed work. But here's the thing. Now, the unions have warned, CIPTU have said, that retained firefighters may resign in numbers next week if the pay dispute isn't resolved.
Well, you know, we're on a rolling strike this week where 50% of the stations are off at any given time. And we'd say we have 12 stations here in County Mayo, where I'm from. And there's 10 of them doing rolling strike. There was two stations too remote to take one of them out at a time. So we left them there with the limited crew instead. You know, we have to be responsible about it. So we actually had to talk our way through going on strike, even, you know, because we still have to provide the service for the public. So this week anyway, you know, half of the stations in each county are out, and the other half are covering now.
And what do you think of Housing Minister Darragh O'Brien's comments today, that he said it's a part-time job? I got the impression it was like, get over it, it's a part-time job, until of course the pager was landed onto his desk. And what do you think of his comments?
Yeah, the pager, unfortunately, is 24/7. So if it's a part-time job, why do I have to wear a pager for 24/7?
Yeah, if it's a part-time job, I'll tell you what, I'll wear the pager for 2 hours a day. How's that sound? Yeah. That's a part-time job. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that may reflect the pay that we're getting to be on call as well. But, you see, he also addressed the Dáil, and on Tuesday, wasn't there, and he said that he was going to bring some positivity to the debate. And
don't think he did
there
that.
There was firefighters in the gallery, and they listened to a statement and they walked out halfway through it because he seemed to think that...
what he said was it was a part-time job and it was never intended to provide a full-time income. Well, if that's the case, then nobody will want to do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why would... I wouldn't want to be in a situation where I was working for a radio station and they said, look, if news breaks, we'll give you a call. But listen, we need you on call. You're not allowed to work for anybody else, because really you have to work beside the radio station just in case news breaks. But we'll give you a shout every now and again when some news breaks. And I'm relying on that to happen to make an income. That'd be nonsense. So why would anyone want to do that?
Yes, it's an impossible situation. You're actually placed in an impossible situation. And what I said during the week in another interview, I actually think even after, I personally now, I'm in the National Negotiating Committee for CIPTU, And I've been in the room trying to negotiate my way around this, and I've been involved in it for 18 months. But for 10 years earlier, we've been harping on about recruitment and retention. And actually, at this stage, I'm convinced that they just still don't get it.
What are you looking for, Tom? Or what are SIPTU and you, because obviously you're negotiating. What are you actually looking for?
Yeah, we're looking for two main things. That's work-life balance, so time off from being on call 24/7. So in order to do that, we have to bring numbers up in the station.
Right, so in other words, you'll have a shift of so many days, and then you've got 4 days off, 3 days on, 4 days off, 3 days on, 4 days off, whatever it is, right? So you'll have a shift.
Yeah, yeah.
And there will be different units, I suppose. You would have A, B, and C, D units who would work different shift rates. Okay, that's fine.
Yes.
And that's a reasonable request. But again, as you rightly said, you'd have to get the numbers up. To get the numbers up, you have to increase it to make it more attractive. So from a financial point of view, what are you looking for?
Well, we're looking, what we think is that somebody would say entering into that for the first time deserves to come out of that with at least an industrial year's wage.
Right, okay. The industrial wage at the moment is 40,000. 41,000, is it, at the moment?
So, something like that, and that's not even livable. They need to work along with that as well. But, I mean, if you have time off from it, I mean, you might be doing maybe 3 days on, four.
And how many hours, on average, Tom, in a week, in your average week, like, how many hours would you end up going out on call? Like, I know you're on call, but how many hours would you end up going out to fires or to incidents or emergencies? How many times a week?
We say in a station like Westport now, I think we had 107 calls last year.
Right, okay. But that's at least once every 3 days, or at least once every 2 days, maybe.
Yeah. Now, but we go into drills too every week. We go 2 hours to drills every week, and we'd have to do training and refresher training all the time.
With new equipment and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, and you even the breathing apparatus has to be refreshed readily. We're emergency first responders, that has to be refreshed. Your water rescue, every single one of the courses you've done originally have to be all kept refreshed. So that's kind of busy enough as well. And
I'm caught between a rock and a hard place here, because I'm thinking of what he said, that it's not a full-time job. And he's right, to some degree, right, from a point of view of going to work. But the restrictions on your life, listening to what you had to say, I have a completely different opinion than I had before you came on the air to talk to me tonight, because I can't imagine because we all went through COVID. So, but I can't imagine what it's like to constantly be in lockdown, essentially, or have to leave family events, or have to, run away from your kid's football match, or your kid's communion or birthday party or whatever it is, and to be constantly available. And I think once you're available, you should be paid.
Yes, I mean, you know, you cannot do very much else.
No, and you can't, because you're available.
You're a prisoner.
I know a doctor. I know a good friend of mine who's a doctor, and he loves working the bank holiday weekends because he makes a fortune, right? And he told me himself, on many of the bank holiday weekends, he works in one of the major hospitals. He's a specialist. He does very little. He has his own room in the hospital, and, he'd lie down, read a book, have a kip. He might get called 4 or 5 times over the whole weekend, the bank holiday weekend. And he gets paid exceptionally well, into the thousands, for that one weekend. So, but for the whole weekend, he's not doing that much work. Don't get me wrong, it's important work what he does, but it's not that much work. But what I'm saying is, he's paid just to be there because he's good at his job. And that's exactly what you're looking for. You're looking to be paid for your time and your sacrifice.
Yes.
It's a fair request, isn't it?
It's quite a puzzle to solve, but it's not a big fix either, to be quite honest. We're not asking for the sun, moon and stars here either.
No.
I think the total budget for the entire retained fire service is 265 million. And 55 million of that pays the wages.
We just gave 1.5 million to the EU during the week, didn't we? I mean, we didn't, according to the minister, we didn't have to give it. It was a donation. I mean, if we can do that, surely we can pay for the basic emergency service.
And in the first few months of COVID, we actually dumped a half billion worth of PPE that we couldn't use.
Yeah.
A half billion, 500 million. This would fix the fire service for the next 5 years. Probably another 100 million will cut this, but that's me throwing a figure. But
where are we now? So what's the possibility I know you're obviously out of work to rule at the moment, or you're half you were on strike. And I hope is that going to impact the general public? Or if there's a genuine emergency, I'm assuming because you're passionate about your job, you will dig in.
Well, it is impacting the general public now, because obviously, you know, if your next station is a half hour away, and some of them are a lot more than that.
Because I did read about 2 weeks ago when we discussed this very briefly on the air, and I didn't have the information that I have now, Tom, listening to you. But I did discuss it, and at the time the union said that there is no member of the public's lives would be put at risk by the strike. But if somebody then has to wait for a call out for the next nearest station because one is on strike at the moment, or the retention retained firefighters are on strike, that could put people's lives at risk, couldn't it? Realistically.
There's always that possibility, but remember what an awful lot of people don't know. And they're not being told, is that they don't have a fire station in their own town now, because it has dropped below the crewing levels and it's taken off the run. And the next station is told, you know, you be alert if something happens in that town.
Yeah.
So a lot don't know this, and this is several stations. This is how bad it has got now, you know. So, and what we're doing this week in our industrial action and our roll-in strike of 50%. Is what the retained fire service could end up looking like if we don't correct this. You know, the government themselves, or the department, did the Kyne report. They commissioned the Kyne report there, and it's now well over a year and a half old. And one of the figures that came out of that, several figures, all a damning report on the fire service, really, but one of the figures was that 60% of firefighters are going to leave in the next 3 years, and that report is a year and a half old already, and a lot of them have left. 500 left between 2016 and 2021, and there's only 2,000 of us already, you know, altogether.
I'm looking at some of the texts in, by the way. There's a lot of text support, can I just say, Tom, coming in at the moment.
Okay.
Billy says, like the Defence Forces, successive governments have failed the fire service. We seem to have a national issue with paying for our insurance policies. And he's right. And also, Derrianne said it's a national disgrace. Somebody else said this is despicable to even listen to. Typical of the Irish government not to pay for the basics, but pay for everything else and waste money willfully. I couldn't agree more, because over the last year, I don't know how many times we've discussed how many times the government have wasted millions on things. And yet, you know, it's not going to cost that much in the big scheme of things to correct this problem and have a service there that we can be proud of. So the idea that people are going to resign... It says here, unions of war and retained firefighters may resign in numbers next week. They seem to be quite specific about next week if a pay dispute isn't resolved. So is there a threat from retained firefighters that they're going to resign next week?
Yes, well, I understand, and because I've been involved nationally with the negotiating committee, I do talk to an awful lot of firefighters, and we're meeting again tomorrow. And quite a lot of them have said to me, you know... There's three people in our station that won't stay any longer for this, you know. They will go out and picket, and they will go on strike, and they will do their bit to let the public know. But if this doesn't work out, we won't even keep them at the picket line, because they'll just leave their job. You know?
And can I point out, by the way, it's not just you guys, because CIP2 have also mentioned local authority water workers who go to emergency situations, ambulance paramedics, firefighters... are all past breaking point by a failure of employers to show good faith in collaborating with them to protect working conditions while improving services. In all three areas, industrial action by our members is scheduled to take place during June. So it's not just you guys, it's the ambulance paramedics and the water workers. So there'll be springing leaks all over the place during the summer, which we can't afford during good weather, obviously, to be springing leaks. And they're not even going to go out to fix them either, because they want proper pay.
Yeah, yeah. And it's as simple as that, and I have to say, you get it. Other people don't seem to get it. The public gets it. The support from the public has been absolutely...
I know there is people listening who maybe don't fully understand the context of this. And they're saying, well, he wants money so he can sit at home with a pager in his hand. And I understand why people might think like that. But you're sitting at home. You're employed when you're sitting at home with that pager in your hand, because you have no option. You can't make plans apart from the 28 days holidays that you get a year. You cannot make plans.
We want enough money to attract new people into it, so that we can bring the numbers up, so that we're not doing it 24/7, 365 days a year.
Yeah, I completely understand that.
So it needs to be made more attractive.
You know, the next topic we're going to be talking about in about a half an hour's time, Tom, is the idea that it should be illegal for a boss to contact you outside of working hours, right? You know, these WhatsApp groups and people, your boss emailing you after work and saying, where's this, where's that file, or on Saturday or Sunday afternoon. And people are all for that. People said, oh yeah, your boss shouldn't be able to contact you outside working hours. Your working hours are every hour, 24 hours a day, essentially. You can be contacted.
And it's quite possibly in breach of the Working Time Act as well, which will be tested in the courts later on. But that's totally for another day. What we're trying to do here, I suppose, is save the service from complete collapse. Because when it collapses, I mean, what do you do then? What's the next move for the minister then? Does he start a full-time service, which will cost him multiples of what's been spent now? Or, you know, will he try to resurrect another retain service when this one has already collapsed? What do you build on? What
I can see is the hypocrisy here as well, because, you know, these are the people who kept society going during COVID. And now we're letting all these workers down, and all the clapping in the world is not going to solve that problem or pay the bills.
No. Unfortunately, the bills have to be paid. And a firefighter is they're, you know, a mum or dad, whatever. And they have a mortgage to pay, the food to buy, and the bills to pay. Like everyone else, we're not any different.
Yeah, yeah. And life has become more expensive, Tom. It has become more expensive.
Yeah. Firefighters will work somewhere else along with doing their job if they have to. But they shouldn't have to do as much work, and they cannot find enough work within, you know, a radius of the fire station of 2.4 kilometres.
No.
So it's a huge jigsaw puzzle to put together, but definitely the fixed income has to be improved.
People's time, you know, Tom, I've been saying it all my life, time costs money. You know, when you're buying somebody's time, it costs money. You don't get people's time. It's the most valuable thing you have in your life, Tom, is time. And it costs money.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And time is the most precious.
Absolutely.
Time is actually the most precious thing we have.
Yep.
And if you talk to firefighters, actually, I'd say what would come number one would be the time off from 24/7 call.
Yeah.
Spend time with the families and do the normal things.
Yeah.
Not to be totally stuck with it all the time, you know. And, that would even come ahead of the fixed income. We can't attract people into it on the fixed income.
But who'd want? I mean, don't get me wrong, I wouldn't work under those conditions. Who'd want to do that job? I mean, I don't mean badness by saying that, but who'd want to do it and have all their time taken up essentially to be on call constantly all the time?
You know, yeah,
and not for that money.
You tell any young girl or young lad in their 20s or even 30s, that's another thing. The retained firefighter, the average age has got older and older. I think it's well up in the 40s at this stage.
Yeah, because no young people want to go into that. Not for that money.
No, because you tell any young person, well, you know, you need to be around all of the time, really, you know. And you won't, you know, what days do I get off on the weekends? You don't get off any, you know.
Yeah, there's no going out to Copperface Jackson on Saturday night. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
No. You can go and so long as you're near the fire station, you get a beeper on, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you make your way to the fire, you know, and you're rolling in 5 minutes' time. If you're happy running a social life with that. But you tell any person nowadays, you know, this might have been all right when people were less mobile, you know, 40 or 50 years ago. It's a very old system, and it's been kind of trying and it's been tried and tried and failed into the 21st century.
Tom, I've run out of a bit of time here, but I have to say it's been a pleasure talking to you, and you've put across your point really well, and I think you've explained it really well. You've certainly changed my mind. When I say changed my mind, maybe I was ignorant and just didn't understand fully what was going on. But I really have a great understanding of it now, and you deserve the money and you deserve the conditions that you're requesting.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for having me on for so long and ranting on about it. And thank you, and have a good evening. And
you too, Tom. I hope you all get what you deserve. All right.
Well, we'll keep on fighting to the bitter end for it.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.